We expect to have real good games there. We've played well down in Bowling Green, so I expect two hard-fought, close games, and you know we're going to have to make sure we're ready to bring our A game, you know, to go down there and find a way to win.
Took 3 points down there last year, a tie and a win, if I remember right.
Yeah, I think that was at Dirk, and you know, I think I still remember Reed Sterl's shorthanded goal. That was such a key goal,
five on three.
You know, he blocks a shot, and we go down and score, which was a big turning point in the game. And you know, you're going to need some plays like that in these games. You're going to need someone to step up and make a play, and Reed did last year. So we always have a great fan base and turnout down there, and I expect the same this year. But they're a good team. They work hard. They really defend well, and they've got a good goalie. So it's scoring is going to be at a premium again this weekend. I feel every weekend, you know, it's we're going to have to play really well defensively. And you have to on the road. You have to play rock solid on the road. You need good goaltending. You've got to stay disciplined. You've got to stay out of the box. You have to take advantage of the scoring chances you get because you're not going to get many. And then you just have to be patient and stick to your game plan. So we expect two hard-fought games. Very good team, you know, in Bowling Green.
Another question just came in. After the winner was scored on Saturday night, Coach, the roar never really stopped by the crowd until the end. Were you aware of that on the bench? And according to this listener, it was the loudest since the Great Lakes Invitational last year and thought it was pretty tremendous.
Wow, and our players comment on that. There's a number of comments on that. I didn't realize because you're so dialed into what's going on and next player and, you know, some coaching and that. And but no, that was great. I mean, obviously the roar was huge there, and our players commented on that. They were commenting after the game and whatnot, and even our other coaches, our assistants. So that's great to see and hear, and it doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me. We've got great fans, and you know, I just wish we had some more home games. It just seems like we play two and then we're gone for like 3 months and we play another one, and it's hard to just get on any roll, and even your fans. And so that's why we haven't had back-to-back weekends where we've been home this year. After Christmas we do, and I just really look forward to getting on a really good roll, and obviously your fans are a huge part of that. But obviously the teddy bear toss I think was huge on Friday, and the donation, the canned goods and non-perishable food items was great. So a lot of great things going to happen. We have such a great community and such great fans.
Well, the noise was so loud, and a lot of people are still asking, were asking after the game, what happened and why did they have to look at the clock or look at the video? Yeah. And what had happened was the icing by the Huskies created such a loud roar by the crowd that we didn't hear the whistle. We knew it had gone, but we had no idea when it went.
Right.
And so they had to go back, and the time keeper obviously didn't hear the whistle, so
yeah, no,
it ticked down to
nothing. So loud, and that's what you'd like to hear that. Yeah, and yeah, that last half a second seemed to take 5 minutes. It was crazy, but that's okay. I think we're all enjoying the moment. So as much as he didn't want to drop the puck,
the puck was not dropped. And then so we again, people were asking after the game, why did they drop the puck 3 times? Well, they didn't. They dropped it only once
twice.
Yeah, they dropped it once or whatever, but the Neville and
he faked everybody out.
The Neville and
Fitzgerald. Yeah, he faked everybody out
the first
time.
Yeah.
He didn't drop it.
So
everybody, and the clock ran down.
So we deserved 9 points. We won that game 3 times.
Seems like it. Yeah, no, it was crazy. But, you know, it's a good way to end the weekend. We salvaged the weekend, especially how we started Friday. But like I said, it was not for lack of effort. And I told our team that on Saturday morning what we meant. And even after Friday's game, I like, you know, our effort. I mean, we put in the effort. We came, we worked hard, and that's all you can ask a team. And some nights you're not going to have the offensive execution or just the execution in general, and some nights you're going to get some bad bounces against you. But as long as you show up and work hard, and it's one thing I like about this team, maybe one night or two nights that they've been a little off earlier in the year, but since then they've come in and they've worked really hard and put in a good effort, put in a full 60 minutes most nights and tried to get a victory for Michigan Tech. And that's all you can ask.
Now, the question, Northern Michigan has often had a play where when the shot is anticipated from the point, everyone else crashes the net. Do you think this is an actual play or just good hockey sense?
Well,
I think offensively they're talking about.
Yeah, no, and that's, you have to get to the net. I mean, I think every team will probably talk about that as far as the goalies are too good now. So when the puck goes to the your defenseman in the offensive blue line, You have different things you'd like to run. We run through some different reads for our defensemen when they have the puck, whether it's take a shot directly at the net, you know, whether they go D to D, whether you look for a high forward who's popped out, or whether you just have to lay it back in the zone. So, yeah, there's different reads you look at, but there's no question you have to get bodies to the net. And we did a pretty good job of that. Bemidji was a, you know, they did a nice job blocking shots and taking those shot lanes away. And you could see the odd time. And some people probably won't want to know, well, why'd the defenseman shoot it wide off the end boards? It's because your shot lane is not there. So instead of getting it blocked, and we got a lot blocked this weekend, is you have to look for a, you know, bounce off that end board, so, you know, kick right back out front when people aren't expecting it. So it's a good question, but there's no question. And we try to get to the net, but the other team has something to say about that too.
You know, I remember Malcolm Gould being really good at drifting away from the front of the net on those plays where the defenseman, you have the defenseman shoot wide, and then he does that little quick pass to the front, and yeah. Boy, Patan scored at least three or four goals
on that. Oh, he did, yeah. Yeah, and that's an act that Gouldy had. So yeah. His brother got a little bit of that too, but no, there's some different plays you work on, and especially now because so many teams collapse five guys in front of the net, and then you fan out if it goes to the offensive blue line, and it's hard to get pucks through. And one coach had a suggestion that if you left your feet to block a shot, that would be a 2-minute penalty. I mean, coaches are trying to find ways to limit teams from blocking shots like they do now. It's an interesting concept.
I have a question for you, Coach. Can you talk a little bit about Lucchini, Gavin Gould, and Les Perrance? You had them together on Friday night, changed things up a little bit on Saturday night, but they were together again. But they didn't seem to have the same mojo that they did up in Anchorage or up in Alaska.
Yeah, well, they were all right. I mean, I think, you know, they had some good opportunities. I mean, Joel had the one breakaway where the guy caught him from behind. You know, he just relaxed a little bit. He thought he had the guy beat, and the guy came back and lifted a stick. And the second one, they blocked a shot, and him and Gavin were sort of coming up on a 2-on-0, they pulled away from the defenseman, and Joel tried a quick move where he didn't really get a good shot off, tried to go backhand, forehand, and it just squirted off a stick. So they're getting some offensive opportunities, but defensively they have to play better and play together more. I think, you know, when you watch the tape back, you know, defensively they got mesmerized by the puck a little bit, or playing on the wrong side of the puck, and they have to continue to grow their game defensively because – you know, anybody will tell you, you know, if you want to play at the next level, play pro hockey, you know, your coach has to be able to trust you, and you have to be able to play on the right side of the puck. And that's like Tanner Carroll. He was a you know, leading scorer, league MVP, but when he got up to Chicago last year, they didn't bring him up for his offensive prowess. It's because the coach trusted him. He got in his, you know, what, 15 to 19 games, and I think he only scored one goal, but he remained up there because they could trust him defensively. And that's so important. That your coach can trust you, because a lot of nights you're not going to score, but you got to be rock solid defensively. So they were a little off, and you know, could have been the travel for them. Everybody reacts differently to that trip, like it was, and some guys will be more rested and more energized, and some guys won't. So not blaming it on that, but you know, they're a pretty good line. We'll see if they remain intact, because you want them to be able to create offense, and I think they're getting the chances, but you got to be sound defensively. We don't get the last change in Bowling Green. So whoever we throw out against Mitch McLean, you have to know that that line will play really well defensively. The thing I like is we've got a good defensive core, so whoever, you know, whenever Mitch McLean comes out, you know you're going to have good defensemen playing against him.
All right, Coach, so what's the travel schedule like for the guys heading down to Bowling Green?
Yeah, well, we're still in recovery mode, you know, from that trip, so we'll probably give them today off. So we'll give them, you know, obviously yesterday and today off, just to, you know, it's been a long first half, long grind, just to relax, and then we'll look, have good practices Tuesday and Wednesday, and we'll look to start making our way to Bowling Green on Wednesday night after school and after practice, and then obviously we'll get there Thursday, have a good skate, and get ready to have two really good games to finish up the first half.
They will be good games, and the Huskies have played well down there in the last few years. We're looking forward to it. We'll have the games for you here on Mix 93. Our pregame at 6:30, both nights, 7:07 drop of the puck, and we can't wait. Thanks to all of our listeners sending in questions today. We do appreciate it. And again, you can send a question in to Coach anytime. Just DJ at themix93.com, and make sure question for Coach Pearson is in the subject so we can put it in the right file. Coach, have a great travel down to Bowling Green, and we'll look forward to the games on Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah, they'll be great games. And again, thanks for everybody who came out this weekend, and we really appreciate your support.
Thanks.
JFM Hancock. Victoria Calumet. This is Mix 93. WKMJ.